This is a replay of the Wednesday night, January 17th WGN show. We started around 10:40. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have the next couple hours and a few minutes to spend together, and a little pop-up game there. And I've got so much in terms of commercial inventory the rest of this hour that I'm not sure what I'm going to tell you, but it is Wednesday, as you know, January 17th, and that is Kids Inventors Day. And boy, have I got an invention for you. So made the kid rich, too, already. We'll tell you all about that. But right now, I know if you listen to this show, you are a radio fan. And if you are, man, the C. Crane catalog is for you. Bob Crane's just like us. Years ago, he realized how lousy radio reception was on the current models that were out there. And he said, I can do better. And he did. And every one of his radios, the hallmark is terrific reception, AM and FM. But all of them have a bunch of other neat features, too. And one of them is the CC Skywave SSB2. With single sideband, you get things you will never get on your smartphone and not on most radios as well. You'll get important communications when you need them. And when nothing is going on, you'll hear ham operators from all over the world on single sideband. But you'll also get terrific AM and terrific FM, the weather band and a weather alert. And the neat thing is it weighs 8 ounces. And for its size, the reception, not only is the reception good, but the audio is sharp and clear. You won't believe how good it sounds for the size it is. It's a perfect travel radio for radio lovers because it's so light and fits easily in your palm of your hand. So you can go to ccradio.com and look at the CC Skywave SSB2. If you can't go online, you can get the world's best customer service by phone at 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. You can order right online. They'll send you a hard copy of the catalog if you want it. But if you can go online, the only problem is if you're a radio lover, you're going to find something you just have to have. Maybe it's the CC Skywave SSB2. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio. Well, something was supposed to happen there, but nothing is, so I'll talk instead. I can tell it's going to be like that all night tonight. Like I say, it is Kid Inventors Day, and the reason for that, by the way, is it coincides with another big day, which is the celebration of Benjamin Franklin Day, for obvious reasons, his birthday. But it's amazing how many things were invented by kids, whether it's water skis or earmuffs or the popsicle, and some would argue the television, but that's another story. 500,000 kids and teens invent gadgets each and every year. And it's interesting because one of them has really hit a big payoff. And I'll tell you about that next hour. Now, it helped that her family had connections to a manufacturing plant in China. But other than that, it still was pretty clever. And I never thought anyone would need it. So we'll get to that. But we have Sam and Gurney. And Sam, welcome back to WGN Radio. I am going to play the bells for you next hour, but this sparked a big it sparked a big discussion because Carol wasn't sure which bells you wanted, and she said, "Well, I think there's only the originals." Was it the originals you wanted?
Well, you know what? I was just looking at whatever would celebrate your and John's marriage. That's what I was looking for.
Well, the originals did have it, but in the process, I found on this hard drive alone 5 other songs called The Bells, so I thought we'd hear them all in addition to the originals, so plenty of things.
We can flip a coin.
All right, so what's up?
Hey, Raleigh, I was calling you tonight. I talked to John for a minute before I got on the air with you, and it's a diversion from where your program is actually headed, but I thought it's of enough interest that I think you'd enjoy it. And from around 2007 to, I can't really remember that when he passed away. I think it was 2018. I could be wrong. But I formulated a friendship with a man by the name of Harry H. Hart, H-A-R-T.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know it initially, but along the course of that friendship, he disclosed to me that he was Al Capone's nephew.
Uh-huh.
Well, that really incited some interest. So we went on, and he shared different stories with me and sent me information. He sent me pictures. So sure enough, he was actually Al Capone's nephew. He was Al Capone's oldest brother. His oldest brother was, I hope I have it right, James Vincenzo Capone. And he left home in New York,
mm-hmm.
And changed his name to...
Richard James Hart.
William Hart and yeah. The Two-Gun Hart.
Right.
He actually became a prohibition agent. Well, anyway, he shared mm-hmm. this fascinating history to me about his father's going on to be a prohibition agent at the same mm-hmm. time that Al Capone was running the gangs in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to, you know, I don't want to eat up your radio program time, but I do want to share it with you in case you or your listeners would be interested in looking it up. But he shared with me over the course of years different stories and even one story where he was up in Mercer, Wisconsin, when he didn't know Al Capone, and he first encountered his uncle after he got out of prison for tax evasion up in Mercer, Wisconsin, at a family cabin up there.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent me pictures. He sent me pictures with him with Al Capone, which verified it, because at first I thought, well, this guy's crazy. But anyway, sure enough, it was all true. And anyway, just a fascinating. He talked about wrestling with him, what a kind guy he was to him as an uncle. He said, I would have never guessed. He goes, and one day I was up in Mercer. He said, I was leaving a place that my uncles ran. I think it was called Billy's Tap or Billy's Tavern. I don't remember mm-hmm. exactly. But he said he left, and he said, I went uptown, and he said the newspaper, the machine was there. And he goes, on the front page, he goes, there's the uncle I just met on the front page of the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, that's how I learned he was actually a gangster. But anyway, he went into long and shorts, a lot of stories over the course of those years. And I got pretty close with him until the time that he passed. But anyway, I just thought it was a fascinating history that Al Capone's brother would have been a prohibition agent at the same time that he was actually a crime family head, you know?
Well, he was. And actually, he's in like the Nebraska Hall of Fame because he wound up in Homer, Nebraska. And so that's the
Homer, Nebraska. I think he was like a judge or a...
Well, that was later. First, he joined the circus. He went away from, he was born in Brooklyn, and went away from New York and joined the circus. And he supposedly enlisted in the infantry in World War I. But there's all sorts of stories about him. And they mention that in 1946, he allowed his son, Harry, who at the time that this plaque was put up still resided in Homer, to go with him to the Capone family cabin in Wisconsin. That's where he met Al.
Oh, so you have that information.
Absolutely. Al, interestingly, you know, he'd been released from Alcatraz, and that was probably like, yeah. I don't know, 1939, 1940, he got out of Alcatraz, and he was convalescing, but what he was convalescing from was syphilis. And and so there's all sorts of stories on this, and neat that you mentioned them, but the State Historical Society of North Dakota has chronicled the whole thing.
Oh, no kidding. I wasn't aware of that, but I'm excited to hear it because,
yeah.
You know, when I first started, you know, when we first started speaking, I was doing some local research in Chicago, and I ran into a guy on the street in Chicago, and I said, he was an older guy, and I said, you know, I'm a young guy. I said, you know, I'd always like to get somebody's take on things, and where should I go to do some research? So he started giving me different names and libraries and this, that, and the other thing, and so I followed him up on everything he said, and it was through that course of action that I ended up encountering Harry Hart.
That's wonderful.
And like I said, we became very good friends, talked on the phone regularly, and he shared so many stories
with
me. But initially, I thought, is this guy really shooting from the hip?
Yeah, absolutely is. That's a wonderful story. You've ended the short half hour, and the story of the bells will be coming up, and I'll talk to you soon, Sam. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Raleigh.
All right. So we will find out what's going on in the world at large and get right back to the bells and more on WGN Radio. James. Yes, that's the originals, and yes, that's also Baby, I'm For Real, and yes, that was Marvin Gaye proving to Berry Gordy that he could produce, and in this case, write a record. He co-wrote that with Anna Gordy, and The Bells, 1970 on Soul. But yes, so Carol, who keeps me on the right path, because otherwise I would never remember any of your requests, let alone what I say on this show, had said, well, you know, we had Sam who requested The Bells. He didn't say who. I'm thinking it must be the originals. And then I thought to myself, well, it probably was. But I immediately thought of five songs that were The Bells. Now, this, by the way, doesn't include Bells in the title, because then we'd have easily 500 songs. But yeah, the first one I thought of was talk about a soap opera. It sounds like it. It was Billy Ward and the Dominoes in 1952 on Federal.
Brothers and sisters, we are gathered here.
Oh, 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 oh.
Therefore, black horses with eyes of flame red, their roses tied with ribbons all around my baby's head.
Whoa.
The bells are ringing, and they say, I'll go and see. Well, I know why they're ringing.
All right, now that is, of course, Clyde McFetter singing lead, yes, and crying and all that. But in many ways, it was an important part of James Brown's review. Yeah, he and the Famous Flames. And the deal is he'd sing this, and there'd be like an accompaniment, someone pushing a baby carriage across the stage with a doll in it. And as they passed, Brown would fall to his knees and he'd be doing the crying and sobbing just like you just heard Clyde McFetter do. And then he'd segue right into please, please, please. Yeah, well, that's the Chitlin circuit, what can I say? Actually, he recorded it as his first single for King, I think. That was probably around 1960, so it was about seven, 8 years after that. But the deal is that was one of his big acts. So that was the first one I could think of that was The Bells. And then it occurred to me, oh no, we can't forget the Crystal Lights.
Do, do, do.
Bom, 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 bom.
1953 on Sunset. If you know anything about the Crystal Lights, you know more than I do. There were other groups of similar names, and in one case the same names, who aren't these guys. But maybe you know, and I'd love to know more. So there we are with 1953 on Sunset. We then get to 1958. Next one I thought of was the Montclairs. And this actually several groups named known as the Montclairs. These guys were from Texas. Have the bells are ringing theme to it, like the Van Dykes on King, same year. But no, this was the Montclairs out of Texas, Just the Bells on TNT. And then after that, wait a minute, somebody was on Blast. The Corvelles, yeah, 1961. I thought of them. Ring a ding a ding a ding a ring a ding a ding a ding a ring a ding a ding a ding a ring a don ding don ring a ding a ding a ding a ring a ding a ding a ding a ring. Sounds like it was as painful for them to sing it as for us to hear it, but there you have it. And then the final one before I stopped looking. Yeah, I thought well, I thought of the Extremes. And this is another case like the Crystal Lights. Who are these people? And worse than that, it was on Paro. So we're not talking about a major label, but here they were in their finest in 1962. There's a Los Angeles connection to this somewhere, because Paro Records was actually a subsidiary of Highland. There's a label that, other than Rosie and the Originals, you probably can't name anybody, but Sid Talmadge owned that in Los Angeles, and that was the deal. I have no idea where he found the Extremes, but I guess they went back to wherever it was. And as I say, we could do literally hundreds, if not thousands, with bells in the title, but those were five where the title, in fact, is The Bells. All right, so in addition, of course, to the Originals, who left them all in the dust. Although, that Clyde McFadder soap opera was worth hearing, I do think. All right, we'll get to Dave in LaSalle, who I believe has some requests. Okay, Dave, whatever it is, got to be better than that. So, Dave.
Oh, yeah, hello, Raleigh.
Yeah, that's you. Your cue.
Okay, I'm calling you from the cold Midwest here, so...
Yeah.
And, I give you a song that could warm us all up. It's a song called Baby Workout.
Oh, okay. All right. A big hit, to say the least.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me who it's by. I know Jackie Wilson.
You know that, yeah. And I got one or two more I'll run by, an instrumental done by a few. The song is called Slow Walk.
Oh, sure. Syl Austin?
That's it. Syl Austin, why sure.
Right.
And one more from the 50s called Green Door.
Oh, great. Oh, yeah, Jim Lowe, a disc jockey at the time.
Really? He was a disc jockey?
Yeah, sure, that's how he got the coverage. It was on Dot. It was on WNEWAM
okay.
In New York, yeah.
And if he knows what's behind the green door, let me know.
Well, I'm sure you've seen the movie, so...
Well, I heard the song.
Well, okay. Well, actually, the song is probably better than the movie, but, you know, ask Marilyn Chambers, what do I know? All right, so, very good.
Thanks.
Appreciate
okay,
it.
You have a good one, Ron.
You too, okay. Thanks. All right. Yes. So what is behind the green door? Well, like I say, I guess Marilyn knows. All right. So 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. And we're going to get to James some stories that he sent, a number of them just great. But we were talking about Cherie last night, and I mentioned the Iceman. So, yeah, I got a couple emails about what's the Iceman. You'll find out in moments here on WGN Radio. And nothing's happening once again. I'm not 100% sure what's going on, but we'll try one more time and get absolutely nothing. Well, WGN Radio, it is the Raleigh James Show. You would have heard, oh, you are going to hear Iceman, I guess, I think. I can hear it kind of in the background.
Iceman, Iceman, got the coldest ice in town. Iceman, Iceman, the women love for me to come around. The lady living over there across the street, she gets one piece and it lasts a whole week. Iceman, Iceman, got the coldest ice in town. Iceman, Iceman, the women love for me to come around. You know I'm the best Iceman in these blocks. I'll give you the right size piece if you just open your box. Iceman, Iceman, got the coldest ice in town. Iceman, Iceman, the women love for me to come around. I'm telling you this, mama, and I'm telling you in front. If you get the right kind of piece, it lasts a solid month. Iceman, Iceman, I've got the coldest ice in town. Iceman, Iceman, the women love for me to come around.
All right, and this is one where you might have more history on it than I do. It's always mentioned as being Big Joe Turner. Well, it's not the one that you know from Atlantic. That's a given, although it's very often credited to him. I think the guy who wrote it originally was Mississippi John Hurt, and I think that it was the flip side of a song called Joe Turner Blues, but I don't know. My copy is on a 45. It's on Wow Records and credited supposedly 1969, but obviously that song is older than that. But Cherie, the oldies queen, unearthed it and used to play it on Yat, W-Y-A-T, where Yat, in New Orleans. And it was just terrific. So I was talking about that, and then I got some emails saying, well, what is it? So obviously it's, you know, one of those double entendre records that you would hear. But Cherie sadly passed away in about 2017, I think, like May of 2017. And she was only 69 years old. And it was, as far as I know, it was sudden. But the deal is she hadn't been sick that anybody knew and didn't have any problems. She was married. I think her husband, Richard Smith, was her husband. And she was, the last job she probably had was at Cool FM in New Orleans. She had been big at YAT, and that's, like I say, where I used to hear her play that. But she then was on Cool, and originally she was doing a weekend oldie show on WNOE, and I think that was probably the early 80s, maybe the late 70s, in that period of time. And other than that, who knows? Her real name was Cherub, and hence Cherie. Yeah, I don't blame her. Cherub Vitriano, and then it was Vitriano Smith after she married Richard. But that's the deal. But she was she just loved New Orleans oldies and played some of the best ones, as evidenced by Iceman. So yeah, I'll try to look for a version by Mississippi John Hurt. I don't know, but that's it. So the last show on Cool, I think it was called Backseat Memories, and died in her sleep. Okay, so 888-876-5593-8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. And Eduardo is in Tampa. What's up tonight, Eduardo?
Yeah, good evening. Well, a couple of things I was going to talk about, but I was going to start with, I saw this, I think it was in San Diego, where the people ate some oysters and they fell ill.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I don't have many details, but I did, because apparently there's an outbreak of norovirus. And so they were trying to find out if the harvest had been in Mexico or what the deal was. So all I know is there was an advisory: don't eat the oysters from Baja or Sonora.
Okay, not on my top of my list.
You probably wouldn't be getting them from there anyway. You know, I mean, that probably would be more of a regional product.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more of a salmon guy myself, but
okay,
that's, you never know what else is going to be out there that you're going to get sick from.
Oh, you don't know about any of this. That's so true. And it's a wonder we're all alive.
Yeah. Also, I was going to bring up, so I guess... some of these companies were going to be cracking down because earlier I heard that they were cracking down on people sharing passwords, and now I guess people are sharing membership cards, like in Costco or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to crack down on that.
Yeah, well...
I don't know. They want to have a picture ID or something, or they were going to be more strict at the counter when you leave or something like that, making sure... when you get in, making sure this is who you are.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that about Costco, but the password sharing, like Netflix now, drives me crazy.
Yeah.
I don't watch these things, but John watches all, you know, he'll watch anything. And so it is that depending on which location, when we're in one, you know, because we've got the two different studios in two different parts of the state, and whenever we go from one to the other, you know, he'll, Raleigh, come here. What? I have to enter a password. And so, you know, so I enter the password and then it has to send me an email. Is this really you? It's like, yes, it's really me. Nobody's watching it at the other end. Trust me. But that told me that there was a lot more in terms of heightened security. I assume that it works to a greater or lesser degree. I also assume it's much more vexing for, say, an online company than Costco. I mean, Costco, in person, you actually have to go to some trouble to take somebody else's membership card and get it, where if you're doing this online, it's as easy as a mouse click.
Yeah, I guess some companies are losing out on some income if they see that people are sharing. Yeah,
and you know, again, I can see where a company like a Netflix or whatever, they could lose all their income, but a Costco, I would assume most of that is not the membership. But hang on a minute, don't go away. Stay right where we are, because Costco is testing something new. Yeah, aren't they always? All that and more coming up, but first the local news here on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and those are the Pentagons, To Be Loved, 1962 on Donna. And Jimmy P. had requested that along with a couple others, so there you go, Jimmy P. And love the Pentagons. Now, we're talking to Eduardo in Tampa, and I don't keep the talkback on when I'm on the air, so I don't know when anyone at WGN is saying anything, but John said, well, you should have been listening because David Jennings knows something about this. All right, well, I wasn't, and I'm sure he does. Maybe it was on the news. So, In any event, here we are with Eduardo, and since I didn't know what David said, I went ahead and looked it up online. And yes, firstly, I didn't know, I will admit to total ignorance, Costco made $4.2 billion in membership fees in 2022. Did you have any idea about that?
No,
yeah.
No.
$4.2 billion? Yeah, and they say that helps defray costs. Well, I guess do a lot of things. And so I guess the deal was that, like you mentioned, people using other people's cards, and it was becoming more rampant with self-serve checkout. And so in the past, they've had individuals ask to see the card and all that. But that sort of defeats the purpose of self-serve, because then you have to have an employee standing there. So now they are testing out scanners at a handful of stores. And I have, you know, and yeah, you can scan the card, but is it scanning the person too? I don't know.
Right.
I absolutely don't know what the deal is, but they're trying that. But you know, it's interesting the mentality of people who are now using the self-service checkout lines. In some cases, they're using it because there are no other checkout lines, and some people aren't very very happy about it. I mean, we've heard about how thefts increase, you know, and they have pretty much exponentially at places like Walmart and all that. But I saw firsthand what this is like recently in terms of the mentality of people. Obviously, for some people, it's almost survival. They're doing this because they otherwise can't afford to pay for things, food or what have you. But in many cases, it's a little more involved, like this couple I saw. And they were middle class to upper middle class in terms of their, you know, how they were dressed and all that kind of stuff. And there they are, they're going through the self-service checkout. And apparently the guy put something in a package, and the woman, who ostensibly his wife, said, "Honey, you didn't scan that." And he said, without missing a beat, and I'm standing right there, "Well, that's just my service fee for having to do this myself." I thought to myself, it was pretty funny, but I thought, you know, that's the mentality with some people. They are thinking, well, if I got to do it myself, I'm going to ring something up for myself. And I think they're having a real problem with that. But that's separate and apart from this in terms of that. But if Costco is making $4.2 billion in membership fees, oh my God, because nobody's getting that stuff for free when they go in there. They're supposedly saving money, but they're still paying.
Yeah.
So,
that came to me, to my mind, that all this sharing is because of the inflation. Or, I mean, I was at Panera Bread today. I got a cup of soup, three coffees, and a bagel, and that was like $20.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, I know.
All the fast food is pretty high up there, so.
Yeah, well,
Sharon, I'm thinking, wow, that's inflationary.
It's to an unbelievable degree. I mean, it isn't that long ago that Subway was advertising the $5 footlong or what have you. You know, you couldn't necessarily pick the one you wanted, but still, it was a footlong sandwich for $5. Now, two people go in there, and it's over 30. By the time you add a couple drinks, that's insanity. But that's the way it is.
And then you have some of these products, too, where they have, like, less in the product
than before. There's a big grocery retailer in Europe, in the mainland, not in Great Britain, but I think several countries in the mainland, and I don't remember the name of the chain. But anyway, they recently kicked out somebody, PepsiCo. They kicked out all of PepsiCo from their stores, which is not only beverages, it's, you know, snacks and stuff as well. And what they said is, you know, your price increases, particularly your price increases where there's less in the product, is something we're not going to put on our shelves anymore. So, you know, I thought that was, I assume that was after much negotiation. I don't think they just woke up one morning and decided, let's just kick out Pepsi. But, you know, I think you're absolutely right. There are many, many products, less and less in it, or the packaging is cheaper and cheaper.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the answer. Yeah. But I do know it's, to me, it's, you know, I don't, obviously if I had the answer, I'd be wealthy, but I don't. But I do know that the economy as we know it isn't working for most people. So yeah. I have no idea. But as it's going, we're talking about, you know, it used to be people ran up credit card bills because they were buying luxuries that they otherwise couldn't afford. Now they're surviving on them. And at what point have you maxed?
And of course that's up.
Yeah.
Of course that's up.
Right. And at what point have you maxed that out? And then if this is survival money, if you're talking about it's eating and it's shelter, what happens then? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's too serious for me.
I saw a poll today where, this might be a little related, where they were saying, would you be going out during the weeknight? And they said that 79%, this was just like a poll they did on the phone, I guess, 79% no. So.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is just like you're saying about what's happening to prices in the grocery store and as well, I'm not sure that staying home is going to solve the problem.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's also age, because there was a Ford study where people were going to do a pay cut so they can have a work-life balance. Apparently, some people are overstressed.
Oh, I'm sure there's
but a. But I think
I'm
it's
sure
all
there's
about
a lot
age,
of,
maybe.
A lot of people
older,
are overstressed.
Older versus younger people, yeah.
Well, the other thing, of course, is can you afford to do it? Because if you can, then sure, you want more time off and you'll be willing to take less money. But if it's the difference between eating every day, you're probably not going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it really
Well, one of the big things that eats a lot on your expenses is insurance. Oh. Health insurance, car insurance, auto insurance.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Health insurance is just absolutely outrageous. And, you know, again, greater minds than me can figure out all these things. I just try to have a good time on the radio at night. But yeah, it's very tough for people all the way around. So I don't know. There's an answer there somewhere, but hopefully they'll find it before it all falls apart. Because I half expect that every day when I get up. I half expect that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. I'll let you get on to the next call.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I did notice, because we've talked about, you know, of course, housing prices are insane, but rental prices as well. And I was looking at this and I saw ads for this building and I thought, wow, that's pretty good price. And then I read a little further and basically it was more like a dorm. You know, the building matches you up with your roommates. And it was, you know, as far as that goes, it still wasn't dirt cheap, but it was a lot better. And I thought, I don't know how many adults are going to want to do the dorm method anytime soon. So I don't know. I have no idea. That's why I just play my oldies and mind my own business. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Marianne is in Chicago. What's up, Marianne?
Hey, Raleigh. Trying to keep warm.
Good.
The only thing I got to say is people that wished for this weather, they can have it. They're either a kid that likes being out of school, and they have never worked outside in this weather. Yeah. I feel so bad for the firemen.
You know, it's interesting that we as human beings, we really only can exist in a very narrow band of temperature. It can easily be too hot or too cold.
Well, I worked through it all outside for 13 years. So I know about it.
No, thank you.
But I called you about the wonderful field of medicine.
Oh, well, God knows, you know, you're not talking to somebody with any specific knowledge, so...
No, but, you know, it took me 2 months to get in for my eye surgery.
Right, and how is that going, by the way? How are you seeing?
Well, I feel okay, but I still can't look out my right eye without getting nauseous and a headache.
Really?
But they said that takes time to heal because the stitches are still there. The black spot is gone.
Good.
But the vision is like somebody wiped Vaseline across my glasses.
Mm-hmm. How long do they think that'll be the case?
I don't know. I'll find out on February 2nd when I go back.
Okay. Well, let us know.
So I had, when I was doing my pre-surgery with my GP, I told him I need to see a neurologist because I have bad neuropathy in my hands and my feet.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, well, I'll give you a name before you leave. I go, don't worry about that. I'll call when I can get out after my surgery because I don't know when that will be. So I called 2 days ago, left a message, because, you know, it's not like the old days. It goes right to your doctor's office. You got to go through this call center.
By the way, no, I don't. I won't see those doctors.
They're hard to find anymore.
Well, got to pay for it.
They never called me back, so I waited a day and a half, and I'm like, what's up? Nobody called me back. Well, somebody did today, and they said, oh, yeah, we can get the doctor in to see you 5 minutes from your house.
Mm-hmm.
May the 8th.
Oh, May the 8th.
I said, that is not going to work. I said, my neuropathy is bad, and I'm either going to kill myself or somebody else if I don't get help.
Oh, my God. Hopefully you didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Oh, I'd be careful about that. In this day and age, there could be somebody showing up on your door.
Well, let them show up on my door, because I have had it. I'll get it with my cane if they want to bother
me.
Oh,
my God.
But
you're going to be on the news before
we
know it.
Oh, well, do you want to drive to Glenview? No, I only have one eye. I don't want to drive that far. Okay, how about Illinois Masonic? That's just as bad. So now, let's see, February 9th, I go to Lutheran General Hospital, and we'll see what they can do for me.
Well, good luck.
But, you know, they're not calling back. I said, what do these doctors do that it's May the 8th? They show up once a month at the...
No, they're that booked. I'll tell you, it's ridiculous. There were a few doctors I was trying to get into in the Mayo system, and finally, they told me, don't even bother to call back. It won't be this year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so they're just overbooked.
I guess all us old people just got to go crawl in a hole somewhere, right?
Well, you know, there's so little I can tell you that you don't know.
Well, I'm finding out through experience. Yeah. You know, they told me my eye was really an emergency. 2 months, it's an emergency. Come on.
Yep. Well, you know, I will say that when you start to demand it be in a certain area, that does make it tougher.
Yeah, but the only reason I'm demanding is because I'm not
in an unknown
area.
I understand your reasonings, but I'm just saying from their end, it makes it more difficult for timing. It just does. So, you know, you sort of say, okay, that's the price I pay, and that's the deal.
I'm not that patient. I'm just I've been a prisoner between my hips and pandemic. Mm. And now that I want to get out, I can't get out.
Well, the weather will break. That's
well,
a given.
I know that, but when am I going to, you know, it's like waiting for the next shoe to drop. One hip good, two hips good. Oh, I'm ready to go. Bam, there goes my eye.
Well, and now you're taking care of that. How's your other eye?
Well, my other eye is fine.
Excellent.
And I hope nothing happens to that. Otherwise, I'm really screwed.
Right. Oh, excellent. So, and you're on your way, hopefully, to this straightening out as well. You've had the surgery. The black spot's gone away. They're pleased with the progress, even though, obviously, you're not. You want it to be overnight, and I don't blame you. I would, too. But the reality is, if you look back on considering how far you've come, you're doing pretty darn good. Just be patient.
I'm starting to run out of that. I used to be the most patient person in the world.
Well, you're gonna have to do it because you're not gonna be able to change it to your liking.
Yeah, I know. As much as I'd like to have it changed to my liking,
you won't. So you find a way. Find a way to handle it.
When you're talking with Eduardo about prices,
yes.
Yeah, well, I'm to the point now when I go to the grocery store. Because I won't sign up for that thing online that they want. You know, and you see a price, it's a real good price, and you look and it says digital coupon.
Well, right,
only.
No. And, you know, I don't do that either. Because obviously what they want is they want your cell number in their system. And I'll be damned, I don't have a cell number, but John does, but I'll be damned if it's going to be in the system.
That's what I told him. I said, so what,
right.
You're going to sell my cell phone number, calls all day, and then you want my email so you can load that up?
Yeah, well, the email is easy to get around because you can have 9,000 email addresses. You just go to mail.com or one of those and create another email address. You can do that till the cows come home. That's easy. But
why should everybody have to go through that?
Well, because
just to get a dollar off of them?
Because they want this for their income stream. You know, years ago when Fantastic Plastic, as I always like to call it, started these convenience cards, it was always the carrot and the stick. You know, the carrot is you get much better prices. And most people went for that and still do. They'll hand over information right and left to save a dollar. So it makes sense from their standpoint. But from your standpoint, the price of opting out, and I do this, is you're going to pay more. And that's the way it is. Now, depending on where you live, you can shop around and find out whether there are grocery stores that aren't doing the digital coupons and decide you want to patronize them as well. But there may not be. And so the bottom line is I just shrug my shoulders and pay the money.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I feel.
Well, and,
like
that, and don't let it bother you. Don't let it bother you because don't waste your emotions on them. You know why they're doing it. They're making money from it. It's not personal to you. You do not have to be part of the system. You'll just pay a little more.
Well, when I first went in and they, you know, when you check out, there's the little box there says, mm-hmm. put in your phone number so you get this money off. And I tried it and it didn't work. And they said, I went on my tablet and signed up and it said I was signed up. Well, did you clip the coupon? And I go, give me a pair of scissors and a paper. That's how I clip a coupon.
Right. They don't.
71 years old.
Yeah, they don't allow it. Forget it.
Yeah, it was like
I know.
Talking Greek to them. Oh, no, you have to scan
that's
down,
right.
scan down,
that's
and
right.
then you click on something. And
well,
I said, that's too much work, sorry.
Well, and then you pay for it, and it's that simple. But, you know, I don't mind the work, but it's just I'm not going to be in your database, so let me pay you more money. All right, Marianne, I think you're doing better than you think you are, but try to find something to fixate on that at least will let you relax in the next few weeks.
Yeah, well.
I know. Really, I do. All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay,
yeah,
bye.
Yeah, that says it all. Yeah. All right. We'll be right back tomorrow on WGN Radio. Chantels, and that was another Jimmy P request. Yeah, fine song indeed. We'll get to a couple of James after the news and a couple lines available for you too right here on WGN Radio.
Oh, Rosemary, won't you try? No answer, though my heart says please. On what you do, my life depends. And with your answer, love starts or ends.
WGN Radio. you. I'm Riley James. That was the last of, actually not the last, but almost saying last of Jimmy P's requests this week. And Rosemary. It's the Fascinators. If you've got it in your collection and can't find it, that's because Rosemary is two words. All right. So other than that, you'll see it right there in the purple capital label. So 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. And Tommy has a song request. So what is it you want to hear? Tommy.
Oh, hello, Riley. How are you?
All right. How about yourself?
I'm feeling good. Listen to you. Listen to you. All those Bell songs.
Yes.
They do up.
Yes. I know. I love and that I was, Billy Ward and the Dominoes. I mean,
yeah.
Clyde McFadden.
I couldn't write fast enough.
Yeah.
I couldn't write them down fast enough.
Yeah.
I had one more. I was thinking you were going to do this one. C.W. Powell. C.W. Powell.
Uh-huh.
And it was a great doo-wopper, not kind of slash blues soul. But I was thinking you might do that one, so I wanted to recommend that one.
Okay. All right.
C.W. Powell on the WIT label, W-H-I-T.
Really? I don't know that I know this song.
You like it.
I'm going to check it out. And he just recorded it as C.W. Powell?
That's his name. With a dot, W dot. Powell.
Yeah, right. No, I haven't run across this. It's totally new to me, so this is exciting. I'm going to look for that.
Okay. And I forgot, where's that anniversary? You mentioned an anniversary. I wish John a happy anniversary. He said, not ours.
Yeah, no, we're in May. So, no.
Okay, well,
yeah.
I won't forget.
All right, good deal. Well, all right, so
thanks,
I'll find C.W. Powell, and thanks, appreciate it. All right.
Appreciate you. God bless all.
All right. I have no idea. You know, usually most of what you guys request, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know that, or at least I've heard of it, you know. No, I don't know about C.W. Powell. All right. So I just tried looking it up on the dreaded Google, and people who think that I'm looking things online while we're talking, no, I'm not that good at it. All I can find out is, like, I found accountants, and then we found Charles Wesley Powell, a hobbyist turned horticulturist. Well, that's not it. So what I'm going to have to do now is a WIT Records discography. We will prevail, I can tell. James in Oregon, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, good evening.
How's it going?
I was going to get in on that food fight you guys have going there. I was a couple things I want to say is there's oysters off of California. There's people getting sick. You know, about 2 or 3 months ago, they had a sewage spill from somewhere up in L.A. area that went down the L.A. River and directly into that the beaches there. And they tell you not to eat anything, not to play in the water around there for, you know, a mile north and I don't know, always south. So, you know, I wouldn't eat anything that caught off the shores of Southern California. I really wouldn't. But
this, of course, was Mexico, but that's just a little further south. But, you know, when you get down to it, I mean, my favorite was the woman who had bought the shrimp, and they turned out the shrimp came from the Far East off the coast of China, actually, and they glowed in the dark. She had turned her lights off in the kitchen, and she went in to get something, and there were the shrimp just glowing away.
I only got to eat those.
No, well, yeah, exactly. But who knows? And of course, when you're going out to eat, you're just throwing caution to the wind. Who knows?
Yeah. But I was going to say, I got a daughter in Orlando that she's been going to a farmer's market down there, and she finds that not only is the produce cheaper.
Yes, but it's better.
It lasts longer. She said she was used to buying it from the, you know, the big box stores and if she didn't eat it within a week, she ended up throwing it away. And she said she bought this stuff and put it in the crisper there and the thing, and she thought, well, I'm gonna have to throw it away. And she went in there and it was still good.
That's great. Yeah. I'm a big fan of farmers markets. Unfortunately, I rarely can visit them because, you know, I sleep in the day. So by the time I'm up and about, the farmers market is almost always closed.
Oh, yeah. We went to some that if you went there before noon, man, everything's gone.
Well, I've never been up before the crack of noon.
No. What time in L.A.? You was in L.A. There's a place downtown where these farmers used to bring all their produce in, and the restaurants would come down there and get their stuff. You know, it would be, have to be there 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
Like that.
That was the farmer's market. Actually, the most historic one way back when was what, you know, became the farmer's market at 3rd and Fairfax in L.A. That originally was really a farmer's market. So, absolutely. But those are absolute morning things.
Yeah. Well, we got some around here. It's all the produce and even the meats and stuff are all from the Oregon farmers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, my wife, she's pretty much a vegetarian. So, other than chicken, so we eat a lot of chicken.
All right. Well.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure why she made that exception, but why not?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know, but she was a meat eater back when I met her, and then somewhere along the line she decided she wanted to be a vegetarian, and then she started introducing fish and chicken back into it.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. But anyways, I just wanted to get on that little fight and let people know, you know, but farmer's market, you might get good deals, better food. They may not have everything that you're looking for at that time, you know, just depends what comes in.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to put all the blame on those oysters on the poor little Mexicans down there, you know,
it's not a question of whether it's the Mexicans or not. It's just where it was in the water, obviously.
Yeah.
And, could have come from anywhere. So, you know, where this happened.
You go up to Pismo Beach there, and you can dig clams all day long, you know.
Well, as I say, you can have an outbreak from virtually anywhere, but that's where this one was. Hence the warnings: don't eat the oysters. All right.
Yeah. All right. You have a good one.
You too. Thanks. Appreciate it. There was a farmer's market in L.A. that had some afternoon hours, but it wasn't the big one. The big one was on 5th Street, and I think Broadway to Spring. But that was, man, you got to be up in the morning. Absolutely not. That's a Graham is in Virginia. All right, so Graham, welcome back to WGN Radio. Why are you in Virginia?
Well, I'm heading down in a friend's van to pick up a steel security door.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, a big steel, big heavy steel door for a store.
Okay.
So it just gives me something to do.
All right, so where are you headed? Where is this door as we speak?
Somewhere down towards Nashville. It's about 20 or 30 miles from Nashville, I was told.
Oh.
I don't remember the name of the town. I haven't plugged into the phone.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's an industrial park I have to go to.
Oh.
And so I should be there about 9 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And then, I'm in Virginia over, where am I? Trying to get a mile marker for you.
You're probably like on 81. I mean, I don't think.
Oh, I'm on 80. Yeah. I'm on 80. Yeah, I'm on 81. Yeah. Mile marker 205.
Okay.
Up in the hills, you know, where it keeps dropping out of overdrive.
Yeah, right. But it's awfully pretty, at least in the day.
In the day, it is.
Yeah.
It's not as nice as that last trip that I took out to Nevada, but that was a whole other story.
Yeah.
I'd like to do another trip out there soon.
Sure.
Gotta wait until it warms up a little bit.
Yep.
So, but I spoke to John briefly. He told me he's doing a little bit better and he's working on things. So,
yeah.
I'm just glad things are good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, are you gonna cut over on 64 East?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm doing whatever the telephone says is the shortest way to go.
Okay, well, that's one way to do it, I guess. Yeah, because if you're at exit 205, you're only about 15 miles from that 64 junction.
Yeah, but 64, why would I be wanting to go east on 64? Because that would take me back.
Yeah, no, I'm wanting, you're right, I'm wanting you to go west. I'm wanting you to go west.
Because otherwise it's going to, because otherwise that would take me back to Richmond.
Yeah, no, you don't want to do that. The other direction, but there probably isn't anything, yeah.
Yes, we want to go west.
Yeah, absolutely.
Continue west. Now, I got a question. When you get out to Nashville, is that into central time zone?
Yes, Nashville is central, and Knoxville is not. So
that's what I thought.
Yeah, you're still on Eastern in Knoxville, but as you get within an hour out of Nashville, you switch to Central.
Oh, so I may actually jump time zones again.
Yes, you will. Well, assuming this this industrial park is in the Central time zone, but most likely, if it's within 30 miles of Nashville, it is.
A good possibility. Okay, that's something good to know because they told me it'll be ready for pickup at 12, which could be 1.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Right. You're absolutely right.
It'll be on your Chicago time zone.
Yeah.
So that'll give me an extra hour to sleep.
And that's always nice, isn't it?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
So... okay, then. Well, I'm glad to hear that things are going well, and I'll be listening to you tonight and probably listening to you tomorrow when I'm going home in the crappy weather.
Yeah, I relate to that. Well, we'll have a full show tomorrow night starting at 10 Central Time.
Oh, okay. You're not getting disturbed by hockey?
Nope. Hockey's earlier.
Oh, okay. Who are they playing to? Oh, you don't know.
Well, I'll find out since you asked. I know what happened tonight was maybe they're still in Buffalo because tonight's game was canceled because of snow in Buffalo. And at first I said, "Wait a minute, it's winter. Of course there's snow in Buffalo." But they moved
there's
it.
There's always snow.
Yeah. So
yeah, there's always snow in Buffalo at this time. But usually, what are they thinking?
Well, I think they're thinking 5 feet or something. But anyway, a lot of feet. They postponed it to Thursday. So I assume this is still Buffalo. But I'm looking Blackhawks game Thursday, January 18th. All right, schedule. We have a schedule.
Am I going to get to miss Walter's perspective tonight?
That's tomorrow night.
Oh, okay.
That's
all
on
right.
Thursday nights. Yes, I know you.
Oh.
I know you don't want to miss the hat. So.
No, I definitely don't want to miss Walter.
Can't have that. Nope. So I'm looking for this. It's tomorrow at 5 p.m. They are continuing to play the Sabres. This would be Buffalo, and then on Friday they are playing the Islanders. So that would that would be a little further south in New York than the Sabres.
Yes. So they're going to be playing. They're playing on a they're on a bus trip right now.
I guess. Well, no, tomorrow. They're still in Buffalo, 5 p.m. They play the Sabres, and then after that, they immediately get on the bus for the Islanders.
Yes. Down to the Nassau Coliseum.
Yep, that's it. And then the following Monday on the 22nd, that show will be certainly delayed for me because they're playing the Canucks.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and that's Vancouver. So of course that will pretty much obliterate Monday night trivia.
Oh, okay. So no trivia on Monday. What?
Yeah, maybe a half hour.
I'm going to try to get tickets next week to an Islander. Las Vegas Golden Knights game. They have a home game at Nassau Coliseum. And to be honest, I'd rather go there than go to the stupid Rock at Newark, where they charge you a whole bunch of money to park your car, and it can take an hour and a half to get it out of the parking garage.
It's great.
You know, so a few dummies can take the train from New York.
Yeah.
They had to build a new arena 30 miles away from a perfectly good arena.
Well, there you have it. Well, carry on. Have a wonderful drive, and thanks for taking me with you. I love to ride.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon, Raleigh.
Okay, good. Thanks. So, 888-876-5593. A zillion stories coming up with James, and there's room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
should know, 'cause I'm in love. I'm the boy who told the girl of the stars up above.
Just two kinds of people in the world. Why can't we fall in love? Just two kinds of people in the world. They are a boy and girl.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. 1958 on End. Stephen Riverside wanted to hear it. A flip side, Lil Anthony and the Imperials, Two People in the World. So 888-876-5593. Now, we've talked about various things that'll kill you if you eat them. Well, sometimes maybe just being near the equipment that is processing the food is deadly. James on the South Side, welcome back to WGN Radio. One of the headlines was, well, I don't know, after reading about a kid being pulled into a deboning machine, I don't know anymore. And apparently this plant, it's not the first human being who has been deboned rather than the chicken. And they're proposing a $212,000 fine for a dollar fine for this company. Amazing stuff.
Yeah, that kind of got me. I'm like thinking, this company's done this before, and a 16-year-old. Why is he even around that kind of equipment?
Exactly. The government's asking that as well, because it's not legal as far as that goes. And the other thing is, he was not, of course, an employee. He was a contract worker. And when you scratch the surface, of course, what you find out, of course, is he is an immigrant, to say the least. And a 16-year-old from Guatemala has been here for 6 years. And he was employed at the plant via a contractor, a staffing agency. I think the Department of Labor should look into the staffing agency.
Yeah, it's just a kid trying to help his family, and he ends up basically
deboned.
Hate to say this, dead meat on. No, we won't say.
No. The bottom line is he's deboned, and so here. I mean, the stories that you gave me, I don't know. I would say that I don't want to get out of bed, but probably I'll find one about a mattress if I read far enough into this. But we have shampoo now. Forget about eating things. Shampoo with E. coli. That was fascinating. Hang on, we'll tell you more about that and some of the other stories that James sent. And there's room for you too on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's Dean and Gene. Hey, Dean. Hey, Gene. And that was a request. It was on Rust Records in 1963, and Rust was a subsidiary of Laurie. And I'm trying to think who that was who requested that. I had it here before, and it's since gone the way of all flesh. But, I'll bet you it's in Carol's notes. I can probably tell you that. Mark in Wilmington wanted to hear it. Okay, Mark, there you go. Hey, Gene, hey, Dean, hey, vice versa. And it was interesting. Ernie Maresca wrote that, co-wrote it, which is, you know, why it sounds like everything else Ernie Maresca wrote. And Dean was Welton Young, and Gene was Brenda Lee Jones. And it was their manager at the time who decided that they would be Dean and Gene. They had been on Ember and didn't do anything there. And they did a couple of things, and then they wound up on Rust, the subsidiary of Lori, and had a couple unsuccessful records. They had Tra-La-La Susie, which they wrote, which was a big hit, and then that was followed by Hey Dean, Hey Gene, which was actually, depending on where you were, maybe bigger. And so that's the deal on Hey Dean, Hey Gene. And we have... let's see, we'll get to Cleveland Dennis here in a moment, but James on the South Side has been holding on for the better part of 2 hours, well, at least more than an hour. So, James, welcome back to WGN Radio. Are you there, James? Why? Well, oh, there you are. Now I can say, are you there, James?
Yes.
Okay.
How are you? Yeah, how are you doing?
All right. So, yes, the stories, you were just resplendent with stories this week that will scare the living hell out of you. We've got all sorts of ways you can die. We have diseases that will turn you into unable to walk and talk if you're a 10-year-old. But shampoo due to E. coli, I just thought there was soap in the darn thing.
Yeah, you would think, okay, now, soap. That, okay, no, okay, you usually figure, okay, no microorganism is going to survive all of that that's in there, in a shampoo.
Well, you would hope not. If it's doing its job, you would think so. Apparently, this is a Mexican shampoo with an Italian name, the Tech Italy Tonico Shampoo from Jalisco, Mexico. And they say not only E. coli, but then something else that I can't even pronounce, Pleurobacter Georgiovi. I don't even want to know.
Oh, Chlorobacter.
That's what that
yeah.
is? Okay.
Yeah, which is not, let's put it this way. If it sounds as bad, it is, yeah, it is bad.
Well, that's
yeah.
right. I figure if I can. But you know what's interesting is you have the link to the story, but it's just kind of a little synopsis of the story. And then I go to read the whole story, and every link I've tried, and I've tried over a dozen, just are dead. It's like, or are they not willing to, in fact, tell me more about this?
I had the same problem. I thought first it was just my phone Mm-mm. acting like it was
nope.
pretty much dead too.
Nope.
And I said, yeah, I know my phone's got some issues, but it's not. That's not the problem here.
Right, right. And I mean, I've heard about shampoo being recalled for like chemical reasons or whatever. You know, it's got a cancer-causing chemical or something in it. But I've never heard of one that would give you E. coli.
Yeah, in fact, yeah, and it's, I'm like thinking, this takes the cake.
Well, yeah, yeah, I'm sure.
Not to talk about too much about the food thing that Mary and was saying earlier. I can understand her point about the digital thing. I wouldn't really use, and then I said, no, I can't afford to keep on paying, and I didn't really, wasn't too happy with going to a Walmart that much,
yeah.
Because at the time, so I said, well, I'll just use, okay, and I find at least I can stretch my money, so that's the only good reason.
And then your phone stopped working.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
just thought I'd mention
yeah.
it, but next thing I know, your phone's not working. I doubt it's related, but it is something to think about. But yeah, I know a lot of people kind of come to that that determination. So we have a bunch of whistleblowers, and I like the idea that we're still following up on these alien bodies hidden by the U.S. government, and I don't mean aliens from Mexico either. I'm talking about other planets.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, and apparently the guy David Grush, who was on that News Nation special last summer, Congress is still trying to follow up. And what's interesting about this story is not what they found; it's how they are continuing to just be locked out of the discussion of this or that. Well, it's national security, or it's the defense thing, or it's God knows what. But the reality is, the one thing we know for sure is that they're being stonewalled.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty certain that there is something. Okay, where the smoke, they have to say where the smoke this
fire.
Well, there's
clearly something there, but I find it interesting how far the government is apparently willing to go to keep it from us. But what's good is you're seeing more and more elected officials who are saying, no, we're not going to stop asking. Now, of course, this is an election year, so I wonder how many people running for the House are going to use that on their platform. We'll uncover aliens.
I've seen people use crazier things.
Well,
so,
and plus,
hey, what's to stop them?
It would do double duty, because some people would be thinking it's an immigration comment, but it's not from anything on this particular planet. So,
yeah. Although I think to some people they wouldn't mind if it was coming from outer space. Although then I have to ask you, would you really be worried? Because, hey, maybe what if, I mean, hey, the source of a whole bunch of decent to very bad sci-fi horror movies.
Oh, yeah.
It
could be good or bad news, and I'm not sure I want to be the one to find out, especially if they're hungry.
Oh, yeah, they might say, we'll just simply eat one half and take the other half with us.
Well, that and it tastes just like chicken, so indeed, a number of fine stories as usual. So which one was your favorite?
Okay, my favorite had to be... Okay, where the preemie baby who was dropped, pretty much like a tossed away at a firehouse, and then found somebody who really did love them.
That is nice.
That warmed my heart.
Well, at least the child was dumped at a fire station.
Yes, because I recall a couple other ones where they were dumped in boxes.
Right,
right.
Exactly. But in this case, at least it was a preemie baby, weighed about 3 pounds. But at least it was dropped at a place where it could get some help, and it did. And so a foster family immediately took him in, and they were the ones who got to adopt him. So that's worked out.
Yeah, that's okay. That really made my day.
Yeah.
And now about the farmers markets around here, they start late May, and they end right around Halloween, unless the frost comes early.
Right, right. But they're usually morning affairs.
Oh, yeah, the one around here is a Sunday morning. Yeah, it's easier Sunday morning.
Yeah, see, it's the M word. I don't do morning. That's the problem. And it's really a shame, because the farmers markets are the best thing in town. Now, I guess I could stay up late, but I'm not going to wake up early. So.
I remember, the one over here near me used to be open from about 6 to 3. And if, let's say, they were sharing a vehicle with another that was doing two markets. They might be to about 5 or 6, or the pandemic kind of snuffed that out pretty much.
Yeah. Interestingly, you also have the story about the Ohio man who dies after unknowingly eating the poisonous mushrooms. Now, not only did he eat the poisonous mushrooms, but they were from his own backyard. And on top of that, this man relied on an app on his phone, Plant Identifier, which mistakenly identified the mushrooms as edible. Now, firstly, if I'm out mowing my yard, and that's exactly what he was doing when he stumbled on a cluster of mushrooms, I wouldn't be thinking, oh, looks tasty. But instead, he found this interesting, took some pictures, looked at the Plant Identifier, and determined that they were giant puffballs safe to eat. And so it was that the tortellini dinner, including said mushrooms, damn near killed him. So I think...
I think he should have just simply mowed them down.
Right, absolutely. And so 8 hours after consuming the mushrooms, he was experiencing the uncontrollable vomiting and excruciating pain. At that point, his wife called poison control. Good idea. And they immediately recognized the severity of the situation, said, get him to the hospital. And so doctors informed him that his kidney and liver were at risk of failing. And it didn't look good, but there was a hepatologist on staff who had treated numerous mushroom poisonings cases. You wonder where they're going to run into numerous, but there they did, and they had an antidote, and so he's fine. But no, whatever you find in the yard, do not immediately think, I think I'll eat it.
No, because, okay, more than likely, okay, unless you are a seasoned mushroom hunter or something like that, you should never really do that. Because,
right.
You might unfortunately, as a certain song went, live to tell, or in some cases,
not live to tell. Exactly. Now, of course, we have a lot of people behaving badly and people stabbing people and punching people and shooting people and killing people. But we also have a doctor caught on camera punching a patient during surgery.
I'm like, he definitely violated a Hippocratic oath.
I guess. Yeah, so it goes on and on.
But then there was a lot of doctors I noticed that were doing that. I'm like, come across story after story of what, like, one doctor, basically, he was doing plastic surgery. His wife wanted plastic surgery.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, looking at the initial, the picture of her before she needed, I'm like thinking, hey, why you're attractive enough? Why you think you need plastic surgery? I'm like thinking, and she ended up dying while doing the surgery.
Yeah, no, and sadly, with cosmetic surgery, you hear a lot of that, and it does make you wonder, dying to be beautiful, I don't think so. Well, as usual, it's a ton of wonderful stories, and, I could pick and choose all night, and thank you for the links.
Okay, now I'm calling you from this new phone, but it's still got some teething issues.
I like the landline myself, but at least you didn't get disconnected, so it's a start in the right direction.
Yes.
All right,
yes,
thanks.
Okay,
talk to you
soon. Take care, okay?
You too.
I'll try to call you tomorrow.
Oh, I hope so. We'll have 3 big hours. And yes, we have a woman denying that she actually murdered somebody after using imported bed bug poison. There's such a thing? Well, we'll find out. So 888-876-5593. We're going to talk to Cleveland Dennis here in a moment. And you too, if you'd like to call right here on WGN Radio.
How can you tell me how much you missed me when the last time I saw you, you wouldn't even kiss me? That rich guy you've been seeing must have put you down. So welcome back, baby, to the post side of town.
Do,
to him, you were nothing but a little plaything. Not much more than an overnight fling. To me, you were the greatest thing this boy had ever found. And girl, it's hard to find nice things on the poor side of town. I can't blame you for trying. I'm trying to make it too. I've got one little hang up, baby. I just can't make it without you.
WGN Radio, I'm Riley James, and yes, that's Johnny Rivers, and that was the last of Jimmy P's requests. That was 1966 on Imperial. By that time, Lou Chud's label was part of Liberty, and it was written by Johnny Rivers, but Lou Adler, who also produced it, and of course later Dunhill Records and all that, took part of the writer's credit. Johnny Rivers music, so Johnny Rivers published it at least, so that's something. All right, so Cleveland Dennis, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I have to make a comment. The bumpers as of late that you've been playing are absolutely fantastic.
Well, I appreciate that. And part of that, you can thank Jimmy P, because he always gives me about six requests, and they're usually darn good.
Dean and Gene made my jukebox. I have an old Seabird 100. And
yeah.
Dean and Gene are on there twice. Tra-la-la Susie.
Sure.
And the Hay Song. But you played the Chantels earlier. I have an old Bim Bam Boom where they were featured. First, I kind of learned about them in the early 70s. But I'd like to make a request for Foot Stomping, because I think you mentioned
the Flares.
The Montclairs earlier.
Yeah, I mentioned the Montclairs, right? But Foot Stomping, you want the Flares.
The Flares. They're not the Montclairs. It's
no,
the Flares.
The Flares, yes.
I think you're right. Anyhow.
But I'll be happy to play it.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm listening, but I just thought I'd give you a call and make my personal compliments about the bumpers. Mm-hmm. Now, the last one you played, that was for me and my old girlfriend back at West Tech High in Cleveland, 1967. I think that one was out. But anyhow,
all right. That's
all I got.
Well, that's
all
good.
I got tonight,
and I'll
Robin.
Be happy to play the Flares, because, you know, Cornell Gunter, who later went into the Coasters, was in that group, and so was Richard Berry, who wrote Louie Louie. So the Flares had some... Yes, both of them. And it was Joe Beharie who named them the Flares after Flare Records, which, you know, Flare Modern, all that stuff. So that's why he called them the Flares. All right.
Richard Berry, he's a rock and roll idol in a lot of different ways.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. So, yes, and finally he did get his royalties before he died. But I don't know if Rene Touzet, so to speak, Rene Touzet of Cuba, who did El Loco Cha-Cha, which that's where Richard Berry stole the riff for Louie Louie and admitted it at all times. I don't know if Rene ever got anything for that. Probably not. 888-876-5593. Don't call now. Just because we got less than a minute to go. Keep the number handy, because tomorrow night it's a full 3-hour show. That's right, starting at 10 o'clock Central. Until then, well, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you who called, and we'll do it again 21 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.